Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
This is a podcast to Justin Digweed. And Justin and I go back a fair amount of time, and we have been in organisations and have been not alike in any way whatsoever, except I suppose we're both from the same... Well, I'm not from Homo sapiens. I hope he's not from it either. So there's only certain things that we're alike in terms of having a huge system, a huge power imbalance, interacting with a huge system, and at the end of the day, you have to be your own person. I think that might be right. Right, Justin. And Justin's one of the few stalwart friends, well, is in fact my only friend, that I can send a podcast to, and they'll just not go, "Oh my God, I hate this person," or "I don't want to listen to this podcast." He'll have a listen to it. And I sent him a podcast, and he said, "Look, I don't know, good Dr. Hill, this is a little bit above, this is a little bit too complicated for me, too complex for me to visualise," which is, thank goodness. So the majority of people I speak to go, "What the fuck?" and get stunned, and I don't actually don't get the key bit of feedback. Justin said a really curious thing, which I thought was a genius idea. He said, the podcast is about a new education system, and the entire thing is, one of the things I've noticed is that I built it, but as soon as I put a duck in it, people began to relate to the duck. And this is a great thing, you know, it's out there in nebulous space, and as soon as I put the duck in it, oh, that's a duck. I can relate to that. And Justin could see the actual complexity, not the complexity of it, but I was actually going to talk. I showed a little bit of video. So let's go. There's a magnetic coils. A magnetic coils, if you run a current in them and you flick the current, the magnetic field changes really quickly. It can induce currents and other things, and you can actually put a magnetic coil on the side of your head and create a convulsion, a fairly benign convulsion, and of different sizes which stimulate inside your brain. And this is talking about the duck teaching electromagnetism, just taking the broad story together and just defocusing it. I'm not talking about putting a duck in people's heads. And I thought, in essence, I am. It's sort of strange, but in essence, I've sort of discovered that having a duck in your demonstration, that is the one thing which enters people's heads. Everything else is just this amorphous thing that people, it's sort of like this fuzzy stuff, and people can't really get access to it, and then people don't quite know what they're doing it. So if they put their hand on something and someone says, "That's stupid," they don't know what's going on. They just listen to "That's stupid." So the only thing is that the people's initial reaction in education is to actually get this, sort of insane feedback onto things, and that's really the issue that I'm looking at. And so Justin's idea is that I'm putting a duck in someone's head. Strangely, I didn't see it, but I've just followed success, and success has been the duck. So I've just got behind my duck to go through it. And since I've done that, Justin, it's been at a level that Justin, who's can see all these crazy things, people who want to do things, massive intelligence and massive systems going up, and there's just Justin who's just trying to get by in his way, the various things. Now, the other thing is that Justin said, this is a bit too intellectual, a bit too intellectual for me. It's got to be dumbed down. And I thought, okay, well, yeah, I really have to do it, but I can't talk. One of the things is I'm trying to really sidestep the elephant in the room, and it's a very dumb elephant. And it's the fact is that I have to say it. Of all, like, being intelligent is really an invitation to be in your own spaceship and have very few people to relate to. Unless your intelligence is vital for something, i.e. open heart surgery or the key thing to make money, the rest of the time it is just a real showstopper. It just means that there's fewer people. If you're in the top two most intelligent people in a group of 10 people, right, it really winds up that there's only two people, the person more intelligent and the person less intelligent. You tend to get really isolated to it. On the opposite end, you've got teachers, which I have to say are teachers, and unfortunately the support people in the system, are the most incredibly stupid people that I've ever encountered. Now, the stupidity is that they have a stupid idea, which is, palpably wrong, and they can't sell it to anyone else except people who know no better, which is children. And they teach that stupid idea to the kids. So it's a real horrible thing. I'm about to go soon, Justin, so I'm going to have to break this. So this is incredible, breathtaking stupidity. Now, of course, for a stupid person, you don't go up to them and say, you're stupid, or this statement is stupid. Because if they are really stupid, they get frustrated and frightened by their own stupidity. Stupid people are really frightened people, and they are frightened by their own stupidity. I'm not saying this to put them down or something like that, but they are very timid, very reactionary people. They're a bit like wild animals or something like that, where you see all these, it's like you walk out to feed the sort of gazelles at a zoo, and they're all running at the other end of the zoo enclosure and going, what's wrong? And people say, well, perhaps you shouldn't wear your lion suit. And so for stupid people, they don't understand something, and if they don't understand it, they're very frightened, and they're also very frightened of smart people. So that's the fundamental aspect of it. And so going forward, we're saying, what would happen? Let's just, I can't imagine this happening. What if we got the most stupid people to teach our kids? What could possibly happen? What's happened is that we give them these incredible things to teach, which have got a huge set of possibilities, and they come back and of this huge possibilities, and they pull out just one very tiny fraction of probability. So what they teach has got very narrow zone, it's narrow connectivity, and if you sort of say, look, that could be connected to this or expanded to that, they're frightened of you. That they just shut down and close, and so this shut down, close down. And if you had incredibly stupid people, they would, and you wanted them to teach science, they would have a shoebox full of magnets and iron filings, and they would teach your children utter, utter bullshit. And then they would create exams with utter bullshit in them, for which when the child recited their bullshit back to them, they'd say, "That's right." And I don't know, it's sort of like being, let's play being a brain surgeon, and they go out with their Play-Doh and go, "Oh, well, that brain, that's a brain, that would have been a thing. Let's put it back inside Teddy. Oh, Teddy, do you actually, oh, Teddy's quite bright." So far off it. So, what we're saying is, unpacked, is that we are dealing with incredibly stupid people, and they've been doing stupid things for a long time. Now, this is not unusual. This is the human race. This is, we come up to a certain point, they do stupid things for a very long time. What can we do which is better than not leaving the child alone and at a certain age showing them a box of magnets and then telling them bullshit and then getting them to repeat the bullshit and saying, "Bravo, you've learnt something." And so we've got a huge horde of people missing our culture. All that's important is that they are slaves, do work, know nothing, buy products, throw them out, get frightened. Like the major way you get people to do things is that they're fear, unhappiness and stuff like that. So what do you do? So there's several things to do. One is, I just want to say it's sort of like McDonald's. Okay, different in terms of for this object, can we actually pile in? Let's open it up, turn it into something intellectual, and pile in the maximum quantity of intelligence and actually envelop it with intelligence to mean that the teacher is no longer... The problem is the teacher, a dumb teacher, has hands directly on the product. By enveloping the product with computers and robots and technology, we can actually step back from the student, put the student down, you're totally surrounded, step back, and we can bring in the bomb squad and actually rebuild things from the start. Now, why I say hamburgers is that if you went to the library and read about a hamburger, you'd go kill a cow, mince it up, do everything yourself, you know, so you go out, "Oh, what's what's on the menu tonight? Hamburgers, kiddies." Go out, bring in Daisy, put Daisy through a mincer. Oh, Daisy isn't dead. And then you'd make your hamburger, and then you'd fill the entire kitchen with hamburger making equipment. Meanwhile, something else has come along. Someone has actually worked out a way to put hamburgers in a box and then stack 20 hamburgers on top of each other and then slide them through as customers' orders have come through and then use computers to model who people are, you know, what people are, knowing that on a Friday the trucks come through and measuring the temperature, they know to order so much Coke, and all of a sudden you've got this modern industry with hamburgers stacked on top of each other, perhaps bad food and stuff like that. But the general idea is that we've got technology is coming in and we're not using it for the little box, cardboard box with a few magnets in it and a stupid idea and stupid teachers and stupid stuff. We're not managing it. What we should do is encapsulate it in a box and have the box being able to, a plastic box, where the box goes out and it teaches high grade science. And if the teacher can actually add some more, great. If you've got some stupidity, well, don't use it, and then everybody else will be using it and you will be identified as incredibly stupid. Now, the thing is that this system can be extended in terms of, I wanted to teach quantum physics. I can't teach quantum physics because no one between me and the student understands anything about it. No one believes that it can be taught. So it's, besides, I don't understand about it. It can't be taught. There are no demonstrations. So here's the demonstration. Here's how it can be taught. Not. Can I come in now? No. It's all shut out. So let's look at this system. Okay. Let's do something. It's really scary. Let's use basic intelligence to say what aspects of that system can be expanded. Okay. This system can be expanded by a process. The process of the system generates parts, and from those parts I can expand and build other things. And I can expand it and build it to cover other areas of this space. What am I doing? Well, I'm doing something that the average teacher would not possibly understand, and that is, without telling everybody, without getting everybody to go, I'm bright, I don't know, let's ask a few people, am I bright? Yeah, you're bright. Oh, I'm bright. Why? Everyone's talking. I'm just actually skipping all that and actually doing the bright thing. So what I'm doing is I've worked out a way to get the document boxes which you have seen and put things together. And rather than actually operate in a vacuum, I've actually got to parents and students and stuff like that and little kids and begun to actually integrate their desires and belief with science. And I'm leaving out the stupid teacher. And so they have imagination, I have the science and technology, and all I'm doing is routing that imagination into this advanced technology. And thus, you have many things, a quantum mechanical oscillator, the advanced chemistry station, teaching station, and the duck in a solenoid. And what happens now is that this duck in the solenoid has a box. And when you touch the box will start playing Doctor Who, and the duck will dance to Doctor Who. And it's really nice, that drum beat in Doctor Who that the duck moves across. And then you can do something else, and you can advance it a thing at a time. You can add all these things, and you can take the duck out and put the egg in. The egg can dance thing. And the entire idea is that you've got this imagination stream, this high technology stream, and we're going to get back to you, the teacher, when it's all said and done. And if you're going to block us, we can actually continue to move in the space. We are moving in the space away from you, and I'm building it. The first line's crossed. Then we can build around you. So this is what we do if there's a block in a sewer. A sewer's really blocked. We go up and route around it. If the road is no longer any good, we build an overpass. And so we are building an intellectual overpass to overtake it. So the important thing is that this duck... So I followed the kids. The kids have shown me the duck. Then they've asked for more, and I've added music to it, and they can see it. And then music, we've added then a little bit of compass and a little bit of induction coil. And then follow that, the induction coil, that you can actually imagine the induction coil is your brain with a current running it, and we can actually induce a current in your brain and get you to twitch, which is important. And then we have the idea that people can actually run coils in your head, this person coil in your head, and it can actually destroy your belief in God, whatever. And that's stupid. And so we have this whole series of problems. We've got this whole series of obstacles out there. We've got one obstacle is from their stupid ideas. Absolutely, I can't believe how stupid these ideas. Thank you very much. No, they're not wrong. However, they're explained in the appendix. You know, we've got a series of things for... you have to... You've got an audience in front of you. You've got age group. You turn to that age group. You open it up. And that teaches you how to do it. You've got a belief. People challenge you. You say, oh, this is the way I was taught. Let me check it up in the appendix. And it goes... Correct beliefs, incorrect beliefs. Oh, shit, that's an incorrect belief. This belief is incorrect because of blah, blah, blah. So you don't actually go up to someone who is, I don't know, planting plants upside down with the roots in the air, something like that. You know, they just go, oh, it's because it came upside down. You don't. You just go... you just watch them, keep on selling stuff to them, just leave them alone because they're very aggressive. They've got a shovel and they'll hit you with it. However, at a particular point in time, they say, look, I don't know what's happened to my garden. It's all this root stuff growing up in the air. And at that point in time, you go, oh, let me go. Oh, people who plant roots up in the air are stupid. Oh, that's not you, is it? No, not me. This type of stuff. So the appendices can actually... So the key to this is the manual, the key interface back into stupid world. And I'm not... Look, I don't tell teachers directly that they're stupid. In so much that I do... trying to do something intelligent, that's because that's the right thing to do for the kids. And if you interpret that me as me, the teachers are stupid, yeah, look, that's a given. Look, as I'm writing the starting conditions are that teachers are incredibly stupid. I just jaw-droppingly stupid. I can't believe how dumb. That, look, there's one thing propagating something that you've been told as a kid and putting it forward. That's okay. But when the physical experiments in front of you tell you something different, that's what a scientist is. A scientist takes testimony from nature. A scientist puts nature in the dock to direct the jury. So as a lawyer and a policeman, it'll take a criminal and a social person. The person who puts nature in the dock is a scientist. And if... nature is testifying against your beliefs and you continue to teach it, you can't really say that you're teaching science. So this is with the magnetism and the way that it's teaching and the whole leading on to quantum mechanics. The reason that we can't go there is that we've got so many stupid people at a level that they're unreasonable. It's not, oh my God, I've done the results are in, stupid people are unreasonable. It's really obvious. Stupid people are unreasonable and they are aggressive. Part of being unreasonable is being aggressive. And they're incapable of understanding, of stopping what they're doing, saying, I'm taking money from the Australian government to teach rubbish to my children. To the children of Australia. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, and if you've sorted everybody else up to support you to do it, part of the stand by me thing, there's nothing you can do with it. What you can do is when you've hit a roadblock, back out and actually produce systems. So I've produced one system, then I've expanded the plastic boxes. I've worked out a way that we can actually just flood the market with these things. That is, anyone who wants to do it can press a button on a website from China, all over China, all the parts assemble, and then they can follow the internet videos on how to assemble it, and they can assemble it with virtually no machine tools whatsoever. All they need is a soldering iron and a piece of brass wire, and they can build it. And they can build 1, 2, 3 units, and then the units themselves operate for, you know, that's what the time. Oh, bloody hell, I've got to go, Justin. They can build it, and build these units. And these units have got Arduino stuff, and they've got really most super advanced stuff, which is in Harvey Norman, is in our local stores, is everywhere around us. It has a GPS, it has a microphone. So I've assembled it, but it didn't work. And all you do is you say, at the end of it, you say to your unit, it didn't work because of such and such, such and such. Then your comment comes up internationally as a series of comments, and we can actually locate it. I've got to get a unit, and there's a unit in that building over there. So you drive up to the building, then it's a unit in room 6, and you get into room 6, and room 6 says, you say to your mobile phone, buzz the unit, and goes, bam, 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 and you can find the unit. You take the unit out, it now knows where it's gone, it opens up, and it runs the lesson for you. It brings, it encapsulates not only technology, but encapsulates the science, and science with it. And so there you go. So this is it. Then when it's sitting up there, when it's put it back up there, it begins to recharge. It then runs the diagnostics on it to say its health. And it says, out of this unit, 10% of the functions don't work. So you can only run these lessons with it until it's fixed. And then at a certain point in time, it says, it tells the people, pick me up and put me in the post box. Then when it goes in the post box, it has written its address label on itself. Do you see it? It's got electronic, you know, Kindle paper? The Kindle? That's electronic paper. This on electronic paper, it's got the new address label. Take it to, ship me to, it cuts out everything. It just says, so what happens is the lab person gets an SMS. Look, you want to go into the storeroom and pick up all buzzing boxes. And so one box buzzes, when it's picked up, it stops buzzing, and the next box, it sets up. Then it says, take all the boxes to the mail room. And then the mail room picks up and it says, send to Dresden, send to Cape Town. And it goes to these units, they get fixed or replaced, and it turns up. These other units turn up in your place because they've electronically addressed themselves. Do you sort of see what can happen? So, and this is all just using dirt cheap technology, because at the moment we've got a dumb teacher with a box of magnets, and to be really smart, we come to a point where it's time to leverage ultra smartness. So this is not only smart, it's ultra smart. So there you go, Justin. I hope that's actually filled it out for you, and we'll see how that goes. So I hope describing it to you there, you've seen the actual boxes. So these are document boxes, right? Document boxes. and they're plastic document boxes. You open them up and you want to weld two or three boxes together. So you open them up and then you plunge your soldering iron through it. And as you plunge the soldering iron through it, it's like spot welding. It's equivalent to plastic spot welding. It spot welds it. And then you need access holes. So you just cut the access hole with a soldering iron. I have to do that, mate, because I'm on Wharf and blood thinners. I can't handle a knife. And I thought, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually use a scalpel. The scalpel flicked out of a holder, cut my finger, and I bled for 12 hours. 12 hours, so that's the end. So I can only do it. So I've had to develop a knifeless method of building these things. So you build it, and then if you want to actually secure a part to a location, you put these little puncture holes in, and then you loop brass wire over the top of it. That way you've got a system which can be built. So what you do is you ship everything. You go tick, 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 tick. It ships the wire, it ships the systems to you, go up. It's then wireless. So it actually, all it does is, all it really needs to do you just have to pair to it by Bluetooth, and then it will go on the internet and load itself up, ready to go, ready to teach. Manuals, whole things like that. And at the end of the day, if you've got microphones, it can record everything going on. What is more, if I can just finish it, what is more is, let's not stop there. The problem is to actually leverage a stupid teacher away from the students. Stand back from the students. You don't know what you're doing. And replace it with a 1960s telephone handset that the student picks up, and they can actually speak with someone who knows, which is an artificial intelligence engine which can actually guide and push them through it. That's the way of the future. That's only one aspect of it, but we can actually push it. And it's you, Justin Digweed of the Justin Digweed Intelligence Unit, who will save the day. So please, Justin, you have a job to do. You've been practicing being a digweed all your life. Now it's time for the digweeds to awake and possibly help us all. Save me, digweed. Thanks a lot, mate.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.